This RFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome to Help on RFM 92.7. I am your mysterious host, Abby.
Yes, why are you mysterious? Oh, no, I'm the other host, Michael.
Just because there's been a couple of weeks where you have had to fly solo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit strange being back on board again, but I've missed it. I miss sitting and chatting to you.
I've missed it as well, because I kind of get a bit bored talking to myself, and I just like, you kind of say a point, and it's like, well, no one's there to disagree with me, so must be right.
I thought you'd be happy to have like an hour chatting away without anyone disagreeing with you or talking over top of you.
What's the fun in that? I mean... I'm right every week, but that was extra right, so.
Well, it's good to know that you enjoy my interrupting and my talking over top and my challenging.
Sorry, was that? No, it's all good.
Alrighty, so today I thought we would, you know, because in this show we like to talk about topics and thoughts and ideas that we feel as parents don't get really talked about enough in kind of the everyday parenting setting. I think it's quite important to add, like, you know, you can go away to different courses or you can see videos and stuff on some of these topics. But in your day-to-day life, there's so many moments where you're facing a challenge in parenting and you feel so lost or unsure, or you think, is it only us that's going through this, or is there other people? And I'm a big fan of talking about things and realizing that you're not alone in the journey. And that's kind of what this show is about.
That's a very good summary.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different summary to what I've done before.
Yeah, no, we're good. And it is good to talk about these things.
Yeah, so today we'll get into it after we listen, just chill out to a song. But just so it's a heads up, today's show is about parenting in the digital age, which is a very real thing that I guess both you and I are trying to get our heads around with our own children, as they're kind of moving out of that really young child age where everything is about toys and imaginations and, you know, exploring things and actually finding out that there's this tech world that we can be a part of, and it's fun and exciting and it's also a bit addictive. And
yeah.
We're trying to navigate that journey as parents.
Yeah. Oh, cool. No, that sounds like a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Alrighty. Well, let's chuck on a song, and then after that we will just get straight into it. When it all melts down, I'll be there. Talking to yourself in the bathroom, losing your mind in the mirror like you have to. Screaming in your car, in the driveway, spinning out, think your life's going sideways.
Don't you worry at all. Ooh.
that is Meltdown by Niall Horan from his album The Show. Do you know who Niall is?
Oh, yeah, we haven't like a way back.
He's one of the One Direction boys.
Oh, okay, no, we don't. There's only one Directioner I know and love.
Harry.
Absolutely.
Harry Styles.
I don't know why.
He's a good singer.
Yeah, actually, that's his later music I enjoy. I never really listened to him as One Directioner. I was not...
One Directioner. Well, no, well, we never were One Direction fans. It was a bit, you know, we were a bit past that,
a bit too old type of music. Eh? We're in our 20s. At that point, pretty sure.
I have no idea.
I just remember they were quite a bit younger, but that's right.
Alrighty, so today we're going to be delving into parenting in the digital age. So it'll be interesting what we talk about here, because this is very much where you and I are at in our parenting, is trying to navigate raising our children and teaching them how to connect with technology. And again, what I find hard sometimes about this is there's so much information out there about how you're supposed to teach your children or raise your children with technology, and it conflicts with each other. And I don't know, and it's hard to figure out what is the wrong or right thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I think there is a lot of different thoughts around it, but not only that, I think it's a battle that a lot of parents do face, and especially for some parents that may not necessarily be as up to play of all the technologies, it can be something that can be quite easy just to give in and, you know, or not give in, but like not really understand all the interactions or the implications of technology. So then, you know, their friend, you send your kids to school in bits and pieces, and there's different levels of each kid having technology, what they have access to, so then you're having to navigate not just your own stuff, but also what the kids are bringing in and saying as well. And like, a very easy one is, you know, these guys have got cell phones, when can I get a cell phone?
Yeah.
Type thing. And like, our kids are, for us, nowhere near that age.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I think something that I find hard is, especially from, you know, previous generations, or like you and I, we're in that generation where technology really took off as we were growing up. So we've grown up without technology being such a dominant force in our homes, to then it really taking off, and then now it's kind of everywhere. Whereas our kids, they've grown up just technology is there.
Yeah.
Phones are there, iPads are there, TV, all of that stuff. They don't know any different. Whereas you and I, we know different. And then the generations before us, like, it's completely new, and they didn't have anything like that at all. Like, they saw technology come in, but it was different. And so I think sometimes what I find hard is when people are like, oh, you know, back in our day we would do this, or kids should just learn how to do this stuff without technology. And it's kind of comparing to what life was like then. Yeah. And there's definitely qualities about life then, or even life 100 years ago or 200 years ago. You can take positive aspects about the way of life from there and think, yeah, it'd be great to have that now. But then there's also the reality is our kids live in a tech age. And is it more a disservice to them to not teach them how to use it, how to be safe with it, how to understand it? And the reality is it's going to keep advancing, and jobs and the future is going to be, tech's already is a big part of how we do work and jobs and stuff. So if we're just like, no, kids can't use it, actually, isn't it better that we teach them younger? Like, when they're young, how to use it appropriately?
I agree with that. I do believe that it's really important to expose your kids to technology in a constructive way, because otherwise, like, I have people coming to work who are, oh, it's a wide range. Some people that are older than me that didn't grow up with the technology around them, and you can see that their aptitude for technology is quite limited. And then I have people that come in who they just adapt. The younger generation seems to adapt more, but even some of the younger generation who haven't as been had that through their life as much, and that's it is a real struggle for them in some aspects. They just can't get their head around bits and pieces because of the fact they're just not used to using this. And especially in my workplace, like, it's so pivotal to be able to use this, just computers in a efficient means. So by not kind of having that as part of your upbringing for your kids, when they get into the workplace, it's like, we don't know what it's going to be like. And I think having the technology, learning the technology, and learning how to adapt to it is actually really, really good skills that they need to learn, as much as other schooling as well.
Yep, I think, I agree with that. And it's, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like anything in life, there has to be moderation, there's got to be balance, there's got to be understanding, there's got to be education, because anything can get abused. So I have a few little talking points here and some little facts in and out. So here's a fact. According to the Pew Research Center, I didn't actually look up what the Pew Research Center was.
I've heard of it before. I'm pretty sure it's one of the larger ones in America. I mean, they do love their research centers.
Hey, if someone else is going to do researching that I can just take the information, then I'm happy.
Fair enough.
Okay, so according to Pew Research Center, 95% of teens have access to a smartphone. Wow. And 45% say they are online almost constantly.
That's
not surprising.
Not surprising. Yeah. Not surprising at all.
Yeah.
I mean, even like just the whole online thing, even in the last 5 years with cell phones and being able to be online more regularly with your cell phone wherever you are, that has increased drastically. Like, no longer are we trying to count our megabytes of how much we use a month on our phones.
I know.
It's just like, oh, I have... You just,
unlimited.
Like, basically, it's unlimited. Like, you don't even think about it anymore.
I know, I never think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that fact being said, the first talking point we have here is setting boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. Everything in life needs to have moderation and boundaries. So setting boundaries, how do we set screen time limits without feeling like the bad guy? That's something you and I are struggling with at the moment, because you try to set limits and you get this emotional, you know, wave back at you. And as a parent, your heart just is like, oh, I don't want to upset you. But you also, you're the parent. You're setting the boundaries for a reason, and you're explaining it, and you're doing, you know, like, being calm and you're being patient, and this is why we're doing this, and blah, blah, blah.
No, the boundaries can... But see, I still think that setting the boundaries around technology should really be done the same as the setting boundaries around other aspects of your kids. Like, I think for us, for our kids, because the thing I not struggle with, the thing that they keep changing the ways we have to kind of have those boundaries set. It's kind of they have different, I guess, tokens of what they respond to, bits and pieces. But in terms of the overall setting of the boundaries, like, you and I, we sit down and we'd say, we talk to kids, oh, look, this is what we're going to do. You can get this amount of time. Do we do use a timer? Do we not use a timer? And we've done that for not just technology, we've done that for other areas. Now, you know, how well we stick to boundaries in other areas fluctuates with what's going on, and how long we stick with technology boundary fluctuates with what's going on too. So, I mean, do you have any thoughts and ideas?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I've necessarily got ideas. Definitely got thoughts. The first thought I had around boundaries is that, you know, boundaries is something that we teach in life in all different aspects, because boundaries are there to help guide and keep you safe. You know, think about food. There are boundaries around food, because if you eat too much, you are overweight. And if you keep eating too much, then you get really overweight. And then if you keep eating too much and you're really, really overweight, you get really, really sick. And so, you know, obviously not all weight-related things are around eating food, but I'm just using this as an example.
Yeah.
So you set boundaries around what you know your body, what is good for your body. And because I guess the reason I'm using this as an example is because I'm going through a 12-week body challenge where I'm learning about eating and food and what works for me, because what I can eat is different to you.
Yeah.
Because you process food differently to me.
Correct.
And it impacts us in different ways, and that's because of genetics, because of just the way that our bodies are, and like, I'm lactose intolerant, you're not. So, you know, so we have boundaries, because the boundary for me is you put a limit on dairy, because if I eat too much dairy, I get really sick.
Yeah.
So if I didn't have a boundary there and I just ate whatever I wanted to, like I used to, then I'd just be sick all the time. Anyway, there was a really long-winded way of saying talking about boundaries, but it's the same. It's the same with technology, and not just for children with parenting, for ourselves as well. Like, I don't know how many times I have to reestablish the boundaries around technology for myself, because it's very easy, especially when they bring out stuff like Reels and TikTok, to just sit on your phone and keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, because that's how it's been made. It's been things like social media have been made to like
draw you in
it sets off those chemical reactions in your body similar to that of an addiction, so that you keep coming back for more. And that's the thing that's really hard about things like YouTube and social media. They're the biggest things that I think children and teenagers and adults get hooked on. Like, you don't see yourself scrolling the news over and over and over.
No.
But
actually, there are some people that are like that, because that is their addiction.
Well, that's true. Yeah. So, so that was one thought. And then the second thought that I have that ties in with boundaries is just more of how I see boundaries. It was when someone explained it to me, see boundaries as like a fence. And I was thinking more about this just when you were talking. I mean, I'm not a farmer, and I don't know how farmers run their farms with fencing. However, we watched Jeremy Clarkson. Now, I'm not saying he's a farmer, and he says straight up, I'm not a farmer, but he's trying to learn the ropes.
Yeah.
But something that he does on his farm is he does shift fences a lot.
Because he breaks them?
Because he breaks them, and he has to put them back in place because they're there for a reason. So you've got your more permanent boundaries, the non-negotiables.
Yeah.
They're there, they're stuck in place. Because for me, you know, whatever it is, that's my non-negotiable. It could be that I struggle with, my food stuff again, I struggle with dairy. So my non-negotiable is I do not eat dairy anymore. And that could be a strict fence line in my life that I've put there because that's what makes me happy and keeps me healthy.
Yeah.
Then there's the other fences, like Jeremy has this great idea, I'm going to have pigs on my farm. So he builds like a pen enclosure and he's shifting fences. And then when he's finished with that, he's moving the fences and creating new fences or making them bigger, making them smaller. And I think there are boundaries in our life that are not non-negotiables, but they're more flexible, where we might have to reevaluate that boundary or reevaluate that fence and shift it because it's where we put it originally is not really working, and or we shifted it and it wasn't really broken and now we've made it worse and we just need to put it back.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I see boundaries, and I can see how what we're trying to do with our kids at the moment with technology, that's kind of coming into play a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely is, just that flexibility, because it's with, because I mean, if, like you said, like you point out, a boundary or fence is one view of it is to keep things enclosed, but the other view of it is to keep things safe.
Yes, or keep things out.
keep other things out. Yeah, and I 100% agree. Like different times, like with what's been going on over this winter, with a lot of sicknesses, bits and pieces. Like the reality is, we've had to be flexible on technology boundary, because when you have a kid who's not coping during the day and just wants to lie on the couch because they're not well, you can have your 1 hour of technology and that's it. You can have your 1 hour of TV and that's it, and you just lie there for the rest of the day. That's manageable, but I think there's being flexible on it and allowing them, okay, yes, you can probably watch some movies today.
Yeah.
Just rest. It's going to actually help them. It's going to help you. So it's just that whole kind of weighing up what's going on in your world. Yeah. I think, like, talking about this, one of the things I keep coming back to with the whole boundary thing is we're intentional about the boundaries and setting them and establishing stuff, rather than be like, oh, we'll just kind of see how things go. And I think that's probably the one thing I'll come back to, like, that's really important is with technology, it's more about being intentional, knowing what you want in the family, what you want with the kids, and not just allowing it to happen, because otherwise the kids would be the ones setting the boundaries.
Yeah.
So I think it's just...
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely talk with the kids about, you know, here's a boundary here, what's your idea, what's your thought? And I think it's important to realise that all technology is not the same.
Yeah.
So we have different, I guess, rules or boundaries around watching TV. We have stricter boundaries around watching YouTube.
Yeah.
If they even get to watch YouTube. Then there's the iPads. Then there's computer games. And so you kind of, like, we're not in the phone world yet. Because we're not, like, I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's just not on our radar right now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're not in the social media world for our kids yet, because just not old enough for it. So again, we don't have to worry about that. But obviously, when these things start to become factors for our children, then we're going to need to put some boundaries and talk to them about it. So the other thing, not only is every technology different, but also every child is different. And I think last night was a classic example of three very different children. Like, we decided that we wanted, because we've had basically a run of sickness, we have let technology go in our house just to cope. But I have noticed that now I'm getting the attitudes and the talking, and then especially when I'm asking them to hop off. And I'm like, well, we've got a bit of, like, some addictive type behavior coming out here. We need to do something about it, because it's our responsibility as the parents. So Mike and I came up with this idea that we would give them popsicle sticks, which represented a time, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20, 30. And then each day they get 30 minutes of technology time, and then they spend their time. So if they wanted to use all of it, they can. If they want to use part of it, they can. They can earn extra time, but they can also lose time, because we've been having issues with one of our children. And we're like, maybe this might be a good incentive, because they really love their tech. Mm-hmm. And then from that, if they want to save up and not do technology for the day, they could, their half an hour, that will carry over to the next day. And so they could save it all up, and then in the weekend have, like, a couple of hours. And then, you know, so just something new we've never tried before. Now, our eldest didn't cope with that, mainly because what we were doing with them prior to getting sick was they had an hour of tech each day, and then that was it, and they could kind of choose when they used it on that day. But what I was finding is that the kids were coming home from school, kind of doing their homework real quick, if they did it, and then they were off. And now that the older two have their own iPads, they're in their rooms by themselves, and this time where we used to connect together as a family has got less and less. Yeah. And I felt really uncomfortable about that just at this age, because I'm aware that when they become teenagers, that's probably going to be really common. But I'm not ready for that yet. So I was like, oh, okay, I think that's why we need to change it. So anyway, she really struggled with it, because it was a last minute change. There was no pre-warning. She didn't have a chance to think it through. She felt very overwhelmed by it all and just didn't know how to deal with it. middle child, he loved it because it's kind of his currency. He loves all of that type of stuff. So he was good. Like, he's onto it. He's thinking about what he can do to get extra time and how he's going to save his time. Like, he loves it. And our third one.
He's another, I don't even know how to explain.
Chaos.
Yeah. He will spend his time and then complain that his time's gone.
And then he gets his time and then he loses his time. And then he's like, I don't even care that I lost my time. But then he does care. And
it kind of, it's one of the things where some portions of the day it works and the current, it's his currency and it will work really well. Other parts of the day it's just, they couldn't give two hoots.
And so with that, each child's so different, the boundaries look different for each child.
Yeah.
And that's what I find hard is trying to navigate, because we want to be fair to all the kids. And that's what I was saying to our eldest. Like, I just want us, I want your kids to all just be the same. But then I was thinking maybe it's not a case of being the same, because she is that little bit older. And she actually, we don't have a problem with. She actually does really well with technology and getting off when we ask her to. So maybe it's not a moment about being fair. Maybe it's about tailoring this to each child specifically because they are so different. So it's so hard to navigate waters like this. It really, there's no easy answer.
There's no easy answer, no right and wrong answer. And I think the one of the things you like you pointed out, like we want to be fair. Anything we do with our kids, we're trying to be fair. But the reality is that we live in a world that's unfair, put it straight. And it is actually very difficult to treat everyone fairly because people respond to things differently and people need different things. So, you know, how you're pointing out with the three kids and how they're going. So, like, our middle child, he's really loving the system. And like he was putting shopping away and he's doing this because he knows, like, if I do this little thing, I get a token. It works well for me. I like doing this stuff. But our other two, they don't think that way. So then, and that's not their personality, they're wired to do that. So then is it fair that we have a reward system that benefits one child and not the other? Well, it's not fair that we do have it like that. So that whole sense of fairness doesn't really exist.
Well, to be honest, reward systems have never worked with our youngest. None of them. He could say, he literally says, stuff it, and he means it. He's not bluffing. If he says, you know what, I don't even care.
Yeah.
Legit, I don't even care. Yeah. I'll just go and play with my toys and have a good time playing with my toys.
Ignore everyone else. Even it. 8 o'clock at night when he's supposed to be in bed at 7.
It's just, I never know what to do with that kid. Like, you know, people are always like, find out what your kid's currency is. I don't think this one has one.
It changes so rapidly. Like, there are definitely moments in the day where this works and, like, where the technology works. And then as soon as it, like, or like an hour or so after that, it's something else.
Yeah, anyway, we'll talk about that another day. Because with him, I think what I find hard about all of this is that, you know, because we're having the difficulties with him at the moment, the last thing I want is for him to feel like, oh, I'm just always in trouble, or I'm the naughty one of the family, or I'm this. But it's so hard because
Well, he's the sweetest kid when he wants to be.
When he wants to be. Anyway, that's what I mean. It's a different conversation for a different day. Before we go into another song and take a break, just to kind of wrap up the setting boundaries, because obviously boundary setting is like a topic in itself, and we could spend ages talking about this. But anyway, here's a tip around setting boundaries. Create a family media plan that includes designated times for screen use and device-free zones, like during meals and bedtime. I love that, because actually something that my mum said to me yesterday when we were talking about what we were doing, she said maybe you could have like specific days for specific things, like on a Wednesday you can watch YouTube. Or on a Friday, we actually don't have tech, we're having a family games night. And so you have these set days where it's like, you can have tech on Monday, but it is games only. So it's not just kind of always YouTube, because that's what I find hard, is they just want to go to YouTube and then they feel so unsatisfied. It's like when you've got that craving for KFC because it smells so good when you drive past.
Yep.
And then you get it and then you eat it and you're so unsatisfied after that you want more of something else.
Unless it's that sweet 5% where it's perfect.
But you know, and that's what I find YouTube's like for the kids. They're so hooked on watching these like videos of these people that are so loud and obnoxious and annoying. And then they get off it and they're like, that was my half an hour. There was only one video. And then it all kicks off again. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is why I ban YouTube.
Pretty much.
So I loved that idea as well, is like have set days for set technology things. And then, and then have very specific times. And where this, like, the only technology that our kids have at bedtime is music. So the older two play their sleep music off their iPads. And because their doors are open and they're still young enough for us to kind of oversee it, it's easy. Again, we're not in the teenage world yet, so who knows what that's going to look like.
Doors taken off frames. Yep. We'll see.
And then they've just put in here the American Academy of Pediatrics, another great American research space that I often use facts from, recommends no more than 1 hour per day of high quality programming for children aged 2 to 5.
Cool.
Just as some little tidbit there.
Yep.
Alrighty, so let's take a break and I just had a mind blank. Listen to some music. I was like, what are we doing in this break? Having a coffee?
Yeah, it'd be cool. Lovely.
We'll take a break, listen to some music, relax for a second, and then when we come back, we will chat some more around parenting with technology. Gosh, we might even have to do a second episode on this.
Might have to. All right.
First time we went out, you said you'd never settle down without a doubt. You said your ex still comes around. I found the things around your house, what's that about? Don't take a genius, yeah, I see it. Even my friends hate that I'm with you. A million reasons should be leaving. I need more hands to count all the issues. But I keep on running through these red flags. I blame myself cause I know it's bad. But I keep on running through these red flags. I see the signs but I still come back. I keep on running through them when you're touching my body. It's into nobody. Nobody can stop me. I keep on running through these red flags. I see the signs but I still come back. So I keep on running. At your parents' place, you said you'd never move away. Guess that's okay. The dinner bill I have to pay, cause with you I like the taste. Just keep the change. Don't take a genius, yeah, I see it. Even my friends hate that I'm with you. A million reasons should be leaving. I need more hands to count all the issues. But I keep on running through these red flags.
Red Flags by Mimi Webb.
I wonder if she actually ran into the red flags.
I wonder if she did. Okay, if you are joining us, we are talking about parenting and technology.
Yes.
And we've just finished chatting around setting boundaries.
Yeah. Just thought maybe we should flip the topic around to being technology to parent. Using technology to parent rather than parenting with technology.
I feel like you've just
Sorry.
Created another episode for another day.
Oh, probably. ChatGPT.
Okay, so next on our points to chat about is...
Point 600.
Is online safety.
Yes, you need to be safe.
So, you do need to be safe. What are the key risks parents should be aware of?
That there are...
bad things on the internet.
Yeah. This can cover so many different ways. I think the biggest risk really is not being invested in what your child does with technology, because they are so innocent, they just don't know.
No.
It's very easy to wind up to talking to someone. And through, like, there's so many different ways that can happen, so many different mediums that you can chat to people, that you may end up talking to someone that is actually completely inappropriate or not safe.
Yeah.
And if you're not, as a parent, like, invested or knowing what things your kids get up to,
yeah,
you just have no idea. Like,
yeah, I agree with that, because we all know by this point in life, in age, everyone knows that what is on the internet is not always wholesome. Like, I don't think we necessarily need to list off the risks. And I agree with you. I think the biggest risk for parents is being negligent around what they're doing.
Yeah.
And not being aware and not being invested and not being interested and not asking them. Because, you know, even with things like YouTube Kids, just because it's YouTube Kids doesn't mean there's stuff on there that's inappropriate for them. Like, I actually found YouTube Kids worse than just YouTube.
Yeah.
And same with games. And, like, we had a perfect example of this is our neighbour and their boy and our youngest really good friends. And at the time they would have been like, oh gosh, 3 and 6-ish or 5, you know, they were young, and they had the iPad, which has all the kiddie stuff on it, whatever, and they're playing, and this ad pops up, do you know, like they do in these games, pops up, and it's an ad for a game where you've got to undress people. Now, I don't know what this game is. And it was my neighbour, when she found out and saw it, like, thankfully she was there monitoring it and kind of talked to the boys about it and talked to me about it. But that's the reality, is, like, they didn't do anything, they didn't click on anything, it was just an ad that popped up for whatever reason. And, you know, and you have to go back and look at the settings and, like, why has that happened? But, you know, I'm so grateful that our neighbour was there and present and aware to see that that was what was happening, and then was able to deal with it and come and tell us, because then we can talk to the kids. My mentality is that we can do our absolute best to put things in place to try and protect our children, but you can't protect them from everything.
Yeah.
But are we creating a space that our kids can come and talk to us about what they see and experience online, or with technology, or whatever, that we can work it through with them? Is that's a conversation we had with one of our boys around the fact that there are friends that take their phones to school and they'll watch things on their friends' phones. And I said to him, if there was ever something on there that made you feel uncomfortable or you thought was inappropriate, and we talked about what those types of examples were, you know, you can come and talk to us about it. You're not going to be in trouble. Like, we want to talk through these things with you. In my mind, they've already seen it.
Yeah.
Whether it was intentional or not, it's already happened. There's no point punishing them and making them feel bad about it when they probably already are. I would rather just talk it through and say, why do you feel bad about this? And what do you think about this? And is this something that's appropriate? And do you think you'll look at it again? Like, you know, trying to teach them through that rather than build shame and fear and guilt, because the moment you create an environment that they feel shame and embarrassed and guilt, they're going to shut down and they're not going to talk about it, and then they're just going to suffer and struggle if they do come across, I mean, let's just put it out there, something like pornography, because that's the biggest, you know, thing, especially for young boys. I don't want my boys to experience seeing something like that and then feel so shamed and embarrassed or like they're going to be in trouble that they then hide it and then struggle and it becomes a bigger issue.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, because that's where things start to build, and you're well past the point on what is online safety and what's not safety, because the reality is, like you say, it doesn't take much to breach it in some way, some form, because not all the technology that they will have is in our household.
Exactly.
And so, like you point out, it's better that we teach them what to do or how to talk about it and communicate, so that we can actually deal with a bit more encompassing.
And what is online safety? Because that's the other point here. How can parents educate their children about these risks and keep them safe online?
And I think one thing I was going to say with this, like, there are people whose jobs it is to get around safety online. Yes. Like, it's their job to make people click and see things, to lure them into selling something or doing something. And so if there's people that are, their job is to do that, it's so hard to keep, just constantly keep those boundaries safe.
Yeah. And I think this is why it's really important for us as parents to educate ourselves on technology. You might not come from a technology home, and this might be completely foreign to you, but you have an obligation to your children to actually learn and understand the risks and understand how to teach. And, you know, if you don't know how to have these conversations, then find someone who can teach you how to have these conversations. Because I think that's what's really important, is learning how to talk to children about online safety in a way that they know that whatever happens, they can come talk to us. But see, for us, that's not just about technology, that's everything. Yeah. If something happens in a friendship, will they come and talk to us about it? If something happens, you know, if they witness something at school, will they come and talk to us about it? And that's the type of environment that we're trying to encourage them, is that you'll always have a safe place to land where we're not going to judge you. It's not about you being in trouble. It's about talking it through and, you know, figuring out what the lessons are, what the consequences are, and then moving through that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And like we like go back to, like, it's just that whole being invested in what the kid's doing. Like you say, not just in technology, but in everything else. Like,
yeah. And it's like one of our boys was watching YouTube the other day, and I didn't realise that, you know, he got onto Reels on YouTube, and I was like, oh, okay, I need to be mindful that that's something he's looking at. And so it's just keeping an ear out, popping in. It actually, it turns out he likes to send me a lot of them. So in a way, I love it, because I'm seeing what he thinks is funny. But I mean, there was a time too when our eldest struggled, because they had discovered Reels on YouTube and the addictive mentality of it, of just, because again, this is part of online safety, and was in a situation where we went in one night at 9 and she quickly put her iPad away and thought she was going to be in trouble, because she'd opened it back up and started scrolling through, and we just said, look, if this is what's going to happen, we're going to have to take the iPad out of your room and you're not going to be able to have your sleep music.
Yeah.
And she felt so bad and upset, and she said, I don't know why, but I just couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And so we used that as an opportunity to talk about addiction, what addiction is, obviously filtered, like, you know, age appropriate conversation, and then just said, you know, boundaries, we've got to put boundaries, and what's a boundary that we can put in place. And I think we did for a while,
Yes, I can't remember what we did, but we basically Louder still have the music, but it was a lot more under control of.
I think we gave her a portable speaker, and so put the music on and put the iPad in your room.
Yeah, something along those lines. And I mean, it's the type of person she is. She bit herself up about it. We didn't actually do anything. And
no, that's what I said to her. I was like, I don't actually think we need to say anything, because you've told yourself off probably worse than what we would have.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's just, you know, we because, you know, invested in what's going on with them, we were able to see this pretty early on in both these situations, and we're like, okay, well, we can just be aware of it and put in place some things that are actually going to benefit them and teach them, which has been really good.
Yeah.
Some good wins there.
And it's just little bits too, like, I find parenting, it's like onion layers. Like, you teach them a little bit, and then you teach them a little bit more, and then you teach them a little bit more, and it's really age dependent, because we are going to have the conversations with them around, you know, when you're gaming with other people. Like, we're not there yet.
No.
Or, like, when growing up for us, we had chat rooms. I don't know how big chat rooms are anymore. Like, they were a big deal when we were growing up. Whereas now, a lot of that type of online connection happens through online gaming or through Roblox, which is online gaming. And, like, there is a chat room element to it.
Yeah. Definitely still exists, but they're very different. Like, probably the one that comes to mind is, like, Discord. Like, having all the Discord channels.
Oh, yeah, Discord, yeah.
And, I mean, that's kind of what I would consider a new age
chat room.
So they still do exist, but probably not in the mechanism.
Not the way we had it.
It's funny because I never did those because I didn't want to talk to anyone online. I wanted to moan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just, again, conversation, talking with your kids, and not, you know. And if you've got a if your kids don't want to talk to you about it, because that's a very real thing, find someone that they can talk to about it.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, in our family, like, we're really fortunate that we're close to my family and our kids have a great relationship with their aunties and uncles and their grandparents. We're very fortunate that if there is something that they need to talk about, they would actually probably be more open to speaking to one of their auntie and uncles rather than us. Mm. And I think that's a really good thing to think about as well. Like, if you're not able to have these conversations, or you're not in a relationship with the kids where you can have these conversations, there are people out there that can do that. We have our really good friends. We've got really good friends, and we get on really well with their boy. And, like, sometimes she'll ask me, like, hey, I need to have this conversation. Could you come and just help? You know, because you can put it into words that I think he'll understand. And so it's just, you know, like, being aware of how can we support and educate others.
Yeah.
I think actually going into that, the friend thing is, don't be afraid to, like, share your boundaries with the kids' friends. Like, when their friends come over, they know that at our house these are our rules.
Yeah.
And these are our boundaries. And they just know, like, oh, okay, like, when I'm over here, this is how you do technology. And it's the same as, like, when they go to their friend's house, they learn what the boundaries and the rules are over there. And sometimes we've had one of our kids come back and be like, oh, he's allowed to play this game. Am I allowed to play it? Or do you just want me to watch him? And so we've had those conversations where it's trying to navigate how different households do technology and our expectations on our children. And sometimes we have to let some little allowances when it comes to other people's houses, depending on who it is and depending on what it is.
Yeah. Definitely depending on what it is and who it is. And I think, but then with that, for, like, us, like, I'm not sending, I try really hard not to send our kids to places that we don't really know.
Yeah, our kids only go to houses and places that we really know the families.
Yeah, because it's for us, it's just that's where we work anyway.
Safety, yeah.
But I think one thing I was going to mention with the whole friend thing, and I know this is probably definitely more important going up into the teenage years more, and it's like I did talk about a few weeks ago, I think, when I was doing a show by myself, is actually being online and gaming with people online is actually such a big medium now for friends to connect with each other.
Yeah.
and that social environment that as parents, if you're not used to it, is something that is actually becoming a lot more part of their social upbringing,
mm-hmm.
and how they do socialize. So it's just being aware of it, that it's not this random talking to strangers. Like, even our oldest, like, often when she's playing a game, she's playing with her cousins, she's playing with people like
online. Yeah,
there's the wider connection point that in the past, like we talked about, technology's changed, so in the past it might sound completely different, but nowadays being online gaming with someone, that's actually quite a big social draw now.
Yeah.
And so,
and even that in itself needs boundaries and you know, space around it. Okay, well, we're almost at the end of our show. I think we'll definitely carry on this conversation because we've got quite a few points. It is a really big topic. It is something that we as parents really need to get our heads around for our own confidence as well, that actually we're confidently leading our children through technology. And a lot of this is just speaking directly to Michael and I and where we are right now, because this is literally what we're challenged with in our parenting journey at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so to finish off, we've got a fact around the online safety. A report by the National Centre of Missing and Exploited Children, another centre, found a 97.5% increase in online enticement reports in 2020.
Whoa. Yep. That doesn't surprise me.
No.
That's the danger.
Again, it doesn't surprise me.
No.
Because people who are predators, online is awesome because they can isolate people, whether it's, you know, whatever their scam is that they're trying to do. And there's so much that's done in the secret.
Yeah.
And by the time you find out, it's already been so deeply groomed or...
Yeah, and it's because you can be whoever you want to be online, and no one really knows who you are. And I think that's what, Just, probably the only other stat I'll check up there is just be aware of Nigerian princes.
Okay. Look, that's a conversation for another day, all right?
I'm sorry.
We're running out of time. Okay, the tip is teach children about privacy settings, not sharing personal information, and recognizing and reporting inappropriate behavior online. So that is actually probably a really good place to pick it up next week. But as for now, we've come to the end of our show this week. Great topic to talk about. And I hope you enjoyed listening and it's given you some stuff to think on. Please go and do some extra research or reach out to someone for extra help if you want it. Yeah, and then we will pick up where we left off today next week.
Awesome.
Right, well, thank you so much for listening to us once again.
Have a great week.
And we will see you next time.
Take care.